Welcome to Kylie Says It's About to Get Real. I chose the name of this podcast after most of my friends would say, shit Kylie says, after I'd share a deep thought or perspective on something that always ended in more conversations. I started this podcast out of a period of spiritual curiosity that caused me to do deep dives into manifestation, meditation, and mindset and perception work that had me exploring things like angel numbers, life path numbers, human design, mediumship, Akashic records researching, and more, all while overcoming a traumatic eating disorder and trying to thrive as a postpartum mom of two while building my corporate career. This show is a mix of guest interviews and my take on life, love, friendship, and all of the topics that I find interesting. Here, we talk to experts, authors, entrepreneurs, and more. If you're looking for a show to get you out of your rut, you found it. Welcome to Kylie Says. I'm your host, Kylie, and I promise to entertain you, give it to you straight, be real with you, and have some fun along the way. Hello to my tried and true tribe. It is 1:11 at the time that I am starting this recording, which is so aligned with all things. I have been negligent, to say the least, in actually recording content to put on my freaking podcast. Largely because I had a bit of a mental breakdown like a week ago. And then I've just been super busy with life, my daughter's birthday party planning, my new job, etc. So I was just taking a little bit of time for me. And I think that at first I felt a lot of guilt about not putting out any content on my show, because obviously my show is something that I do in my spare time. It is something that I do because it makes me feel good. It is the creative outlet that I feel the most connected to, that feels the most authentic to me. Talking in a microphone just feels so much more aligned than recording myself doing things like styling my outfits or recording myself doing my makeup or anything like that, even though that is really where I would love to start developing more content. But this is just the most natural. I can do it with no makeup on. I can do it sitting in my office where I'm already working. There are just so many ways for me to show up here that just don't require as much effort as I feel some of the other avenues do. And that got me thinking also about a book I'm reading. I'm reading a book called All Fours right now, and I am so close to the end of this book. But I am also so curious as to where this book is going. If you have not read it yet, I am so, start reading it. It's called All Fours, and it's about this woman who I want to say is going through a bit of a mental crisis, a mental and emotional crisis. And she's talking a lot in the book about like mind-rooted or body-rooted sex. And this is not a spoiler alert in any way, shape, or form. But it makes you sort of question things about yourself, about your marriage, etc., as you're going through this book. And I'm just super curious to get other moms' take. It's very raunchy, so maybe buy the version on your Kindle so that you can read it in a more discreet way if you're taking public transit or you're going on vacation, etc. Because it will, if other people have read it, you might feel exposed if you're reading it in a public place. But it's super curious to me because in the book, the main character met her husband or married her husband at age 30, which for most of us, I feel like is around the phase when you start to truly understand who you are and what you want. And then it almost talks about the fact that she's conformed who she is a bit to fit this narrative of what a traditional wife looks like. And she's by no means like what the trad wife current phenomenon is covering. It's just more of her ability to feel like she truly is herself and she's getting what she wants out of life. And I just have found it absolutely fascinating. And it also got me thinking about this whole Remy Bader situation, which I feel like has one of two camps. The first camp is it is her life. She can do whatever the heck she wants. Yes, she got weight loss surgery. Yes, she hid it from everyone for years. Let her do her own thing. She's happy and that's all that matters. And then there's the other side of the camp that's talking about the fact that for those of us that actually are plus size or consider ourselves plus size, that followed her for the truth about how some of these clothing brands' sizing works, the sheer frustration that can come from feeling like you're one size and then trying to actually buy in that size to find out, oh, hey, spoiler alert, this actually will never fit you because the size that we consider to be extra large is actually more of a medium in other brands. And her content was so eye-opening, but also relatable at the same time. And she built literally a brand. Like, her name is now a brand. And so a lot of people feel like they were completely sideswiped and surprised by the fact that she finally admitted that she did get weight loss surgery. I am very much in the middle of a neutral place on this because, as someone who has consistently struggled with my weight, I do significantly feel better when I lose weight, but that also comes with a lot of other things. Like, I have more energy. I feel like I can run without as much discomfort. I feel like I have more stamina to do certain things and run around with my kids and walk up our three flights of stairs to our third story. And so, of course, there come benefits, but I think that you can never win when you are in a, when you put yourself in a box to a degree. And I think Remy started her career by putting herself in a box. The box that she created for herself was that she was the spokesperson for plus-size women who struggled with their weight on a consistent basis and were frequently around other people or in situations and scenarios where they had to engage with other people, be present, and show up as confident at awards parties, at fashion shows, at you name it, influencer parties, but she still always found a way to look beautiful, to dress her body well, and to come out on the other side of the insecurity that comes along with being the only plus size person in this sea of normal sized or undersized women, men, people. And once you put yourself in that box, you have a hard time getting out of that box because then as soon as you lose weight, you become inauthentic, which I don't necessarily think is fair. I think if you are someone who has consistently struggled with weight, as she clearly did slash had, and then you build a brand off of the reality of that, you are allowed to evolve. You are allowed to do something to make you feel better. It's just like for any woman who were struggling with their weight and have now taken a GLP-1. But I think the difference is that those people have been open about the fact that they have started taking a GLP-1 and they have seen all of this consistent weight loss. They have continued working out. They've changed their lifestyle habits as soon as they actually started seeing results. Because I think the psychological shift that a lot of us encounter today is, especially for women like me, you're in your mid-30s, you've had a few kids, your body has changed, and your metabolism has also changed. And if you add on the layer of any sort of eating disorder from there, which is what my situation was, then you're looking at things like insulin resistance. Then you're looking at situations where you feel like your weight is out of your control and that no matter what you're doing, you are not reaping any of the benefits that most other people without any of those issues are facing or are reaping. I mean, so you can be eating well, you can be doing the elimination diet, you can be exercising, and you just are at a stagnant. And that's exactly where I was before I started taking a GLP-1. I don't know if I plan on being on it for the rest of my life. And that's something that me and my healthcare team will need to decide. But I do think that core benefit that I have experienced from it is the elimination of that food noise that was so prevalent in my life on a day-to-day basis. And that's where I feel like for someone like a Remy Bader, yes, she built her career on this idea of becoming, or well, not on an idea of becoming, just on the grounds of being a plus-size woman in an industry or just in the world. She initially started by just being this plus size girl who was talking about the woes of trying to actually dress her body, which is a lot harder and more devastating at times than anyone in a potentially smaller frame might experience who have more options and styles and sizes to dress their body at more locations than people that are plus size do. There's often this assumption that if you are plus size, you cannot dress your body well, which is not necessarily true, but many of the women who looked to Remy Bader for styling advice and for how to dress their bodies had a great example in her of someone who could consistently find something that she could dress her body in that would showcase all of the amazing things that her body had. And those features that many of us on the plus size scale struggle with or feel a lack of confidence in showing, like our arms or our stomachs or our legs, etc. And so this, well, literal tangent of like 8 minutes or so is the perfect example of this narrative that once you are fat, you can't become skinny. And then once you become skinny, you can't then get fat. There's this, it's just like this societal shift that we have to be more comfortable with, that people are allowed to evolve. And yes, we can feel hurt by it, but at the end of the day, this is totally controversial, but at the end of the day, I would be hesitant to say that anyone who is significantly overweight and who is struggling with their confidence, who is struggling with their mental health as a result of their weight, would not want to be in a more healthy, trim body to reap some of those benefits. Some of it I feel like is A, you feel like you've been, I don't know if, I guess blindsided is the right word, but also they were only able to do it through their weight loss surgery. So what does that mean for me? And I think there's this sense of, I feel like I've been left behind because this person only reached this dream weight where they are now dressing their body in different ways because they went to these extreme expensive lengths, and that is not in the cards for me. I think that's also something that we see with women who may potentially want to take a GLP-1, but the cost itself is their prohibition. They're unable to even get started because of the drastic monthly fees. And that in itself feels unfair. There are just all of these things that lately I feel like I've been thinking about. What does it mean to feel good about yourself? What does it mean to feel confident? As a woman at mid-30s, what is left to do from here? And I think the thing is finding what your boundaries are. If you are someone who is really feeling like you're in that desperation field of wanting to lose weight, then you have to make some sort of change. Whether that's getting more testing done, whether that's showing up for yourself and validating for yourself, whether that's finding a new healthcare provider that can help you get to the root causes, whether that's trying new supplements, whether that's creating a new routine, it's not going to go away on its own. And that onus has to live with you as the person inhabiting that body for the rest of your life. We've all heard that term, you only have one body for your entire life. Of course that's true, but then again, my spirituality side goes, well, what about my reincarnation? What body will I have then? But for the purposes of this discussion, if I'm living in this body for the rest of my life, the question that you have to ask yourself is, would you be happy living in the body you're in for the rest of your life as of today? If your answer is no, then what steps can you take now that we're at the end of March, going into April, to make a meaningful difference in your life for the better? I consistently think of what I want my children to see. I don't want them to see that all I did was sit on my computer and cook them dinner and then put them to bed. I want them to see that I prioritized my well-being because they will model what their life as an adult should look like after what they are seeing as small children. If they are consistently seeing me be only stressed out as a result of work, if they're only seeing me be complaining, or if they're only seeing me complain about my body or the way that I dress or not feeling good in things, then they are going to automatically start having new conversations in their head about, are they good enough? Are they this? When they start overhearing kids at school talking about their bodies or their parents, they're then going to go back to those moments in time and feel like maybe I am not good enough because my family doesn't prioritize this. That is not something I ever want my children to feel, but of course there's some give and take. As parents especially, we have to give ourselves a little bit of a break sometimes. And if that week your exercise schedule goes out the window in favor of more one-on-one time with your kids, then that is a win. Your kid is not going to feel like you are prioritizing working out over spending time with them. What it will do is alter the chemistry of your brain, making you happier, increasing your dopamine, and ensuring that your serotonin is actually flowing and you are feeling good. I have started to enjoy the experience of working out again because of how I feel afterwards. I may not have the most intense workout. I may not be sweating bullets when I leave the gym, which I normally am not, because I started to prioritize low intensity workouts that allow myself to flex literally and figuratively my muscle groups that I'm really trying to focus in on, but I also am more focused in the exercises that I'm doing and the recovery that I'm trying to do as well thereafter, so that I can consistently keep to a schedule when I am able to. And I think that's one of the biggest things that today as moms and just as women in mid-30s find ourselves trying to balance is this idea of not having enough time. And I keep thinking of this term or this like meme that I've seen that it's like, if Beyonce can do it all in a day, you can do it in a day. But I wholly like, I throw that out. Yes, she can do it in a day because she has all of these people helping her be successful and maintain this. None of us do. Let's be fucking honest. None of us have assistants, or maybe we do. I mean, honestly, if you do, then hallelujah to you. I would love one. We don't have assistants. We don't have people doing things in our behalf. We don't all have people making our meals. We don't all have people cleaning for us, picking up our children, helping split the load. We no longer have that community that our parents grew up with or that our parents had around them when we were growing up. I remember consistently seeing our family friends at our houses, going to their house. Our parents switched off babysitting us. They didn't have parents nearby, but they survived because they had this village mentality where everyone had to help each other succeed, give each other time, give each other a moment away from their kids, had people that they trusted to pick us up from school, to do some of the things that they could not feasibly do throughout their day. And we don't have that as much anymore. And that becomes significantly problematic when we're in this world where we no longer have a village, but we have so many more issues that our children can potentially obtain, such as new food allergies. We have to be wary now of everything that we eat and that we put in our bodies. We need to be looking at things that are more sustainable. We need to be cleaning out. We're told clean out all of your products that you have for cleaning your house because they are filled with pesticides. We're told that everything needs to be nut-free, dairy-free, and free of anything negative. All food coloring needs to go out. We're told that if you're not baking your own bread, that you're failing as a mom to a degree. And all of those things to me are BS because at the end of the day, our parents probably still felt that way about certain things. And they did the best that they could. Of course, there were things that they would do differently. But I feel like so much of this comes to this mindset of what are you willing to do and what are you willing to give up and what does baseline happiness mean for you? And I'm not saying by any means, let's only strive for baseline happiness, but you don't have to only do something because you're seeing other people do it and feel like, oh, am I supposed to be doing that? And I think that's where the disconnect for so many people comes in, where they start to feel so disconnected from who they think that they should be as this person, this mom in their mid-30s who's working or who's not working. As soon as they jump on social media, oh, well, other people seem to be doing this so easily. Oh, well, other people are creating content in ways that seem so realistic and natural to them. Their voiceovers are amazing. Their tips are fantastic. I can do that better here by times 100 than I can actually do on social media. It actually drains me thinking about content creation. Yet that's something I've wanted for so long, is to be able to actually be a successful content creator. I haven't put in the effort. So what am I expecting is going to happen if I'm not posting 5 times a week, if I'm not consistently doing reels, if I'm not picking a lane? It's the exact same way when we think about what we want and who we want to show up as for our kids, for our family, for ourselves. If we're looking at 1,400 different things and effectively trying to implement 1 ounce of those throughout our days, we are not being effective in any way, shape, or form because we are sprinkling all of these sporadic ideas onto our life and then not picking a lane. I think that we need to get so much better about deciding what actually works for us and what doesn't. And it's okay if one of the things that your friends does really well is not for you. It is also okay if one of the things that you do really well is not for your friends. But it is absolutely ridiculous to think that we can be all things for all people at all times, and somewhere the ball is not going to drop. For me, when I had my bit of a mental breakdown last week, I also realized that it had been about a week since I had taken my antidepressants. That was not purposeful. That was just because I was so stressed and I was overwhelmed, and it was something that just fell off of my routine that I normally do every single night. I would clock it as I was already shutting my eyes and just say, okay, whatever, I'm too like tired or exhausted to move. But then I noticed also my daughter's birthday was approaching. And so I was having this emotional turmoil of my child is getting older. I'm so happy that she's getting older, but I'm so sad I don't have a little girl anymore, because while she's only 6, she has grown so much in the past few years, just the way that she presents herself, the way that I see her little mind starting to form and build opinions and form her own feelings and think independently about certain things that I am so proud of, but that also comes with this little bit of heartache where you go to bed with a 5-year-old and you wake up with a 6-year-old. And I think that's going to happen at every single age, but it was another factor in my week that just made me feel like things are out of my control, things are out of my hands. And that's also a reason why I feel like so many women don't like birthdays, because it feels like when that time comes, something is out of your control and you can do nothing to stop it. It's coming towards you, it's hurling towards you. And people want to celebrate you, and people want to throw a party for you, and they want to go out to dinner and do things. But oftentimes it becomes this debilitating reality that there's nothing you can do to stop this thing from happening, But you also don't know if you want this thing to happen. So then it becomes this dichotomy of, okay, I'm so glad that I get to wake up another day. But also, oh my gosh, have I accomplished enough? Have I done all of the things that I said I was going to do? Have I been successful enough? Do you think my parents are proud of me? Is my partner still happy with me, the way I look, the way I do things, the way that I show up for our kids? Am I showing up enough at work? I think that there are just all of these different areas, and it's not something that I see talked about how are we as women in particular supposed to go through this period knowing all the things we've seen and all the things that we have access to see. Millennials were one of the only generation that witnessed the first school shootings, that witnessed 9/11 and everything that came after it, that have witnessed some of the most testy and divisive presidential elections, that have gone through two periods of massive, what is the term I'm looking for? Oh, recessions. And we were the first generation that truly grew up with technology at our fingertips, but also the first generation that grew up without technology introduced until later in our lives. So we've seen the benefits before, and we're seeing the benefits and the concern that's coming thereafter, and had kids during a global pandemic. So for people who think millennials are crazy or whatever, look at the things that we've seen in our upbringing. There is absolutely no way around the fact that growing up in the way that we did without technology in our childhood has made us so much more receptive to the benefits and the drawbacks of technology because we've seen what life was like beforehand. We didn't have filters when we were growing up. If you were ugly, you were just ugly that day or forever. And that was just something that you dealt with. We didn't have filters we could put on our face at a young age to appear more attractive. We didn't have these standards of beauty that we could immediately access through our phones or through our computers because the only thing that we had that was accessible at the time were literally CDs. And whatever the freaking album CD like cover photos were, magazines. And then for me, like freaking Disney Channel, watching TV shows like that. Other than that, it was who you were around and what messages were most widely broadcast to you through your friends and your family. And I will never forget going to one of my friends' families in elementary school and seeing what they ate for dinner versus what we ate for dinner. And everything was measured. You could not have seconds. You could not have dessert unless you ate all of the healthy things on your plate. And I mean, like, portions were small. Mind you, they had a lot of kids, but I remember being hungry after dinner and for the first time realizing, like, this is what hunger feels like because I had never once truly left a meal feeling hunger. And that to me was the strangest thing. Why would we not be able to eat until we feel full? Why would I only be able to eat this? And it was definitely coming from the mom who was trying to make sure that her four daughters did not end up having any, I guess, did not end up gaining weight is like the only thing that made it visible to me. But it gave me the first perspective of, I'm wondering if I'm eating too much because I would have eaten a lot more than this if we were at my house and we would have absolutely had dessert because my parents always let us have dessert and it didn't become this special one-off thing that you only got when you were good. It was more of just something that it's available if you want it, choose it or not. You absolutely don't have to, but of course we have something if you'd like to have something afterwards. So it was really the first time that I truly recognized people do things a little bit differently when it comes to food. And it started me thinking, I wonder, and this was again in like third grade maybe, and it got me thinking, I wonder if we're not supposed to let the girls eat as much as my sister and I do. Mind you, neither of us were overweight or had any issues, but it was something that I became more aware of and started making me. I think that was one of the first times where I truly remember thinking, is there a right and a wrong way? Because I immediately thought that our way must be the wrong way. Because when you're younger, in particular, you look to other people as kind of a mirror of what you should or should not be doing, which is why social media can obviously be detrimental if you're looking to social media to find validation. And so all of this goes back to the fact that the whole net-net of where I've been going for this almost 25 minutes is the fact that in order to truly know yourself, you have to have boundaries in what you believe and what has been put as a belief based on something you've seen repeatedly. So, for instance, recently I've been going down this rabbit hole of I probably need to be making things more from scratch. I need to be doing more of this, more of that. And then I realized it's less, my kids care less if I'm making things from scratch that they do if I'm playing with them more, if I'm feeling good in my body and able to run around the house with them. They want me to be happy so that I can instill that happiness in them. They don't care what they're eating. They care about who they're eating with. Is that person present? Is that person answering them when they say mommy? Are they calling my name 16 times because I'm still on the computer and I haven't heard them because I'm so involved in my computer? Like, that to me is not okay. And that is a boundary that I need to become more comfortable with. I also need to figure out ways to better compartmentalize when I'm feeling like I am down. And I think starting a new job kind of threw some of the success I'd built on creating and figuring out what my boundaries were for a loop, because now I'm not in the same role. And so there are differences in how I show up. There are differences in how I respond. There are differences in requirements of what success looks like. And that also comes with some boundaries being broken that you had created or being evolved, which is fine. And that's a critical part of going from mid-30s to 40. And I think it's worth, as women, as friends, getting together in a more collective way to decide, what does this next phase look like for us? What is something as a collective we need to be striving for? And then finding a tribe that will collectively work together to do that. What are those things? What do we care about? What does friendship look like at this phase? Does it mean that we go on vacations together? Does it mean that we have our kids go to the same schools? Does it mean that we can drop by each other's houses when we know we need each other and the house doesn't need to be clean? Does it mean that I can text you when I'm feeling like some sort of way and that you'll be there for me, even though I know you've got your own shit and you're also busy? What does that mean? And I think that we don't have enough of these conversations because we don't want to hurt people's feelings, or we don't want to come off as though we're not all together. And we're not going to grow at all if we don't admit to ourselves and to the people that are closest to us that sometimes, in order for you to break through, you have to have that breakdown. And that's what I'm hoping this next phase of my life will be inclusive of, is finding my tribe, which I already have. I have a great tribe, but working together with my tribe to help define what this next version of ourselves look like as parents and as friends. And collectively coming to the decision that A, one, we care about each other. B, how do we show up for each other when we're so busy and things are absolutely crazy? And then D, how do we follow through? How do we define on something? How do we define what friendship and life looks like for us moving forward? And then how do we actually make it a reality? That is winning. That is what it means to be an adult. That is what it means to come to a conclusion and set boundaries and do it in a way that sets you up for the utmost success in life and in friendship. If you've made it to the end of this episode, I am so obsessed with you and we have to be best friends immediately. Go to @KylieMojadidi on Instagram and you can find me there. I'm also on TikTok @KylieMojadidi. And if you have enjoyed this total brain rot episode of my meandering thoughts, I would love for you to leave any sort of review. 5-star preferred. No, but seriously, any sort of review or feedback is always appreciated. And I promise to be a little bit better about getting here on Tuesday at 9 a.m. But sometimes that's a boundary I'll need to break. Thanks for listening. See you next week.